I will stand by you forever. Please still be my Patreon.
Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure, 20 years or older, that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, Michelangelo Ross. And to my right,
I'm a crude but rude guy, Raphael Miller.
Raphael Miller sounds like a porn star name.
I'm about to adopt that as my
That's
name.
A great name.
It doesn't change my initials.
That's a great name. Raphael Miller. Woo! So we have a Twitch, twitch.tv. You know this whole spiel, right? If you come this far and listened, if you're a first-time listener, welcome. We're going to go over our plugs real quick, and we'll get right into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So we have a Twitch, twitch.tv/supergarbageday, all one word, where you will and will not find first impression videos for the games that are picked that week. You can come and make fun of me as I try to play random games and fill them out for the first times. Also, all those, oh my gosh, already. That footage goes from Twitch to YouTube, youtube.com. I'm sure you're aware of that website. Search Super Garbage Day Podcast on there and you will find uploaded first impressions and other stuff. We have bonus episodes on our Patreon. Our Patreon is... So I found out something. You can't search... I just realized this last week. So if you have a podcast on Patreon that is not all ages, you don't come up in the search engine. Even if you put the name in.
Boo.
So if you want to check out our Patreon, honestly, the only way to do it, or I guess the fastest way to do it, other than putting in patreon.com/supergarbagey, all one word, is to check out the show notes. I have a main link. It's a link tree in the show notes. Click that. Everything I just talked about is in there. Also want to congratulate and welcome. Congratulations for being a part of the family. The new patron, Jake Carter. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. And they added a game. They added Mega Man X2 to the Patreon pool.
Nice.
So, yeah. A game I have not played. I was just telling him that I played the living crap out of the first one to the point where I got the Hadouken and everything.
Mega Man X?
X. Yeah. And all the Mega Mans for it, but except 5. I never played 5.
I don't know if I played 5 either.
Never played 5. It's the only Mega Man on the NES I never played. So, all right. All that said, let's just get right into the retro question of the week. This comes from Nogs56. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
How's the spell?
N-A-U-G-S-5-6.
Nogs.
Nogs.
Yeah, that's how I would spell it. I would pronounce it too.
Also a new patron. What current gen game would you like to see retrofied and on what console?
Now, okay, this is a interesting question because what does that exactly mean?
So are you familiar with D-Makes?
Oh, okay. So like what, like
they did it, the most famous one.
There's a video that I've seen recently of like an Elden Ring.
Yeah. D-made it.
Okay. So just make it like 16-bit or something like that.
Somebody, I think one of the most famous ones was Final Fantasy VII being D-made to the Super Nintendo and being an overhead RPG style. So I believe that's what this patron is asking. What current gen game would you like to see pretty much D-made?
God of War.
Onto what system?
I want to do a Super Nintendo God of War.
So do you want like are we talking like a Castlevania, Super Castlevania 4 side scroller? Yeah,
something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Which God of War though?
The most recent iteration.
So Ragnarok?
Ragnarok. I haven't played Ragnarok yet, but I want the Nordic aesthetic.
Yeah. That game is so good, dude.
Especially because it's got some interesting mechanics, like with the axe, like that'd be a cool thrown weapon and a side scroller, and you could do some kind of like swinging, like Metroid type of,
right?
Like it would be a good kind of like Metroid style.
Well, game. Super Castlevania really would fit that perfectly because that game was really flexing the Super FX chip.
Yeah, and you could still have the crazy boss fights. Yeah. And
that would sell.
Yeah,
that would make money. That would print money. That's a great idea. I do have a weird homebrew God of War Nintendo that is actually based off the first Castlevania. We talked about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Kenshiro sent me that long time ago. I still have it. My answer to that, I actually had to think long and hard about this. I had a hard time. And then I thought about, okay, well, what about the most recent games I've been playing? And I came up with, I want Resident Evil 7 done on like PS1.
Oh, you want to fight the camera angles in that?
No. First person still. Still first person.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Like, give me that first person chunky, like
almost gritty, like, oh, you know,
I want it to look like Silent Hill on the PS1, but first person, and I want the everything to be the same.
I'm gonna jump off of that.
Okay.
And I would say do it on an arcade cabinet.
Okay.
In the style of Time Crisis.
Resident Evil 7 is Time Crisis?
Yeah.
That's pretty much just like House of the Dead.
But better.
Yeah. What about including both of that in the game, though?
Yeah.
So you have the quick time events that are done. Maybe not quick time events, but like you can do some of the there's not enough action in it to warrant that, though, because the game's a lot of it's just the atmosphere. And like, and then you can do a battle. What's it? Resident Evil 7?
You're being chased by.
You're being chased, but it's not. I don't think there's not enough stuff happening to warrant like a Time Crisis type, like duck and come out and shoot. No, there's like a million enemies coming at you. Well, you're getting like one enemy at a time.
You could, well, but they could change it to like they're throwing a bunch of stuff. Like she's just got knives all over. And like,
so let's combine this and make that like this game exist where it's Resident Evil on PS1, first person chunky visuals, but also they have the arcade mode.
Yeah.
That is the Time Crisis style. I mean, you play the whole game through, but like Time Crisis, that would be dope.
Yeah.
I bet you somebody's probably
since Resident Evil 4 remake is so prime in my mind right now. I haven't played it yet.
I haven't
really,
either.
Really want to.
I do too.
That would fit really well as a Time Crisis game.
I have so many games in the backlog though. I just beat one and then
I'm just broke right now. So
I feel this move
is murdering me. And then I know your job struggles.
Yeah, just everything. It's crazy right now.
Life sucks.
It's all right though.
At least we got video games.
Yeah, video games, that's the point though, you know, like and that's what I love about podcasts in general is like they're great little escapes. Either way, like you whether you're just working in a job where you just need to take your mind off what you're doing or you just want to listen to something to take your mind off what the heck's going on in your life. It's kind of how I feel about it, and I hope that we provide that to people because that's kind of the point of the show, and I enjoy it. I look forward to it.
Let me be your escape, baby.
I can be your hero.
Let me take away your pain. Oh, yeah. I will stand by you forever. Please still be my Patreon.
All right. That was off the top. I'm leaving that in raw. That is not getting edited. All right, there it is. So let's get into our game this week that we spent this week playing, which actually was a first. Mr. Miller and I played the game at our houses. And then one night, Mr. Miller just came over. We fired this game up on a 1989 wooden TV on the original NES and played couch co-op.
I was brought back to it
for hours
to a much simpler time. And it was the best reset.
It was special.
I needed that so bad.
It was nice. Yeah. And that game this week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Wow.
What
is
Manhattan Project?
Manhattan Project on the NES.
Yeah.
Nuclear bomb. Whew. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project, is a side-scrolling beat-em-up released by Konami for the family computer. We played a lot of Konami games on the show. In Japan on 1991.
It was the era, man.
I'm telling you, I think I spoke about this before. If you,
they
you
were to
put a gun to my head and tell me who was the best third-party developer.
Konami.
Yeah. For this time period. Dude, they were killing it.
Yeah.
Where was that? Okay.
Sorry.
Released in Japan in 1991 for the Nintendo Entertainment System in North America in 1992. It is the third video game iteration of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the NES. The game features play mechanics similar to the previous games. Not true. Previous game. Because the first one was not.
No, the first one's a first very, one was, very different monster.
It was out there.
Yeah.
It was the Zelda 2 and the
Castlevania Zelda 2 with a top-down turtle first. Truck. Yeah.
It is based on the 1987 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series being released after the show's fifth season. The game was re-released recently as part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection in 2022. So it is highly accessible for anybody who cares. And yeah, a lot of editing going to happen there. So there we go. That is everything you need to know. This is a semi-famous game. And let's just get into first impressions. All right, so my first impressions were, this is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up. It's not really side-scrolling, kind of. Some parts are. It reminded me heavily of the second game that came out, which was the arcade game.
I realized I hadn't played that one either.
You haven't played part two?
No.
On the NES?
I guess not.
It was based off the arcade game, which is why it's called that. But you know, that game was... Oh my God, that was a big part of my childhood.
Because I remember the first one.
Yeah.
And then I was like searching my memory banks. I'm like, no, it wasn't until like Turtles in Time.
Yeah, that's the fourth one.
Which is.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. But the number four for a lot of these series on Super Nintendo were just fantastic.
Anyways, continue with your first impressions.
Oh, well, pretty much that's it. It was just, it's Ninja Turtles, a big part of my childhood. All the toys. I woke up as early as I can to catch the show before I had to go to school. And
I got potty trained by the Turtles.
Nice.
Legitimately, my parents were like, you want these Ninja Turtles underwear?
Yeah.
You got to use the big boy toilet. And I said,
and you're like, I'm on it.
All right. And I just took off my diaper at that point, held my hand out, and I marched my ass into the bro, bathroom. Bro,
if you want to, yeah.
Like, yeah. You want to motivate me?
Toys?
Give me things.
Toys or candy. Yeah. Always works. As a father who finally doesn't have to deal with diapers anymore. Yeah, it'll be like, what do you want? Yeah. I'll give whatever. What are you into?
Stop, Dodo.
And I'll give you a. I will buy you a laptop just to play Minecraft. Okay,
if
you
the just Minecraft please, machine.
I will. I will make more money from you not using diapers.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a NES and Turtles game. I knew of it. I never played it. I did not know much about it other than I do recall the cover of it at the rental back when we used to rent games in the 80s and 90s. I remember seeing that Triceratops on the cover. That was like a big part.
That character's sick.
I always remember that character.
Also, he's not in this game.
I didn't
game.
See him in the game.
No. Yeah. Like,
where was it? Did we not get that far?
We got to like, we were
close.
Two levels away from beating it, and that Triceratops is didn't not in that game.
And he's right there on the cover.
He's unless, like, unless he's like the boss just before Super Shredder or something, but I don't think
I don't know
so.
How they would mess that up.
Yeah. But
to be fair, the game had, I don't know, it had a lot of the same bosses though from the, like the first NES game was kind of wacky. I mean,
there's so many iconic characters.
Yeah.
They can only, the only people that they were really missing in this one that stand out from other games, they didn't have the fly boss.
Oh, no, Baxter.
Baxter, thank you. Yeah, they didn't have Baxter. They didn't have Krang.
They have Casey Jones anywhere in it.
Casey Jones didn't show up.
Yeah. No.
But I mean,
Rat King. I didn't see Rat King.
Rat King didn't show up. No. Yeah.
These are, you know, I'm thinking back on Ninja Turtles and I think, man, they had some great villains. The whole thing is so good.
Well, that's also why like the crossovers with Batman work so good because
yeah.
their villains are the villains make
you're
both of those series.
100% like,
Batman
right.
and Turtles is made by their villains.
It's true. And that's and I think correct me if I'm wrong. What were the Ninja Turtles? Comics DC?
I'm pretty sure they are. If
I feel like they
if not they're Dark Horse, which has
I
a
I think they were Dark Horse. I actually have
which has a crossover with DC.
I have one of the original.
Because like Spawn also crosses over with Batman. So
yeah,
the
yeah.
Max and stuff
I
like that.
I love Spawn. Spawn was so dark, dude. Anyways. About this game.
Well, our dirt deep nord lore go and catch us on dirt our other
deep nord.
The deep dark deep Turtles.
Yeah, I have the original Ninja Turtles, the big graphic novel at my mom's house.
Is it like the manga version one?
It's the one that's black and white on the cover. And
yeah.
All, yeah. And like they
because they used to
and they're all the same color.
Like, I was going to say it used to be all red. They all had red bandanas. Yeah, yeah.
I have that one and I didn't realize how much it's worth.
Very dark, too.
It is. It's crazy. Worth looking into if you're a Turtles fan. If you didn't know about like the dark comics because. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love the turtles. So, all right, gameplay, let's go. So, this is a beat 'em up game. And if you haven't played a Ninja Turtles game in the 80s or 90s, that majority of these games were side scrolling beat 'em up games.
Yeah, very similar to like Battletoads or
Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Um,
Streets of Rage.
Of course, you know, this game is famous for it because the arcade games were so famous. They were like one of the first games that Simpsons and X-Men were, I think, some of the first side-scrolling beating ups to have the four-player option.
I think they also were the only ones that had, like, quote-unquote special moves that were unique to each character.
And I mean, with the Turtles universe, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this game was created only for the NES from the ground up. It was not a port from like the one prior to it, which was a port from the arcade to the NES, which actually was brilliant. They did such a good job of that. That's a tall order, dude.
I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Dude, it was literally the arcade game, which looks insane.
I bet.
Put on the 8-bit Nintendo and it actually played very similarly, looked really, I mean, obviously there's difference in fidelity and graphical limits, but it is such a good job, dude.
It's
and it's so fun. So this is a sequel to that. And you're pretty much, it's very identical in the sense of its gameplay loop. You start the level, you go through, you beat up the characters, the arrow points keep going, you go, you get to a boss, you beat the boss, you continue the story.
I noticed this one actually didn't have arrow points ever.
You're right though. Yeah.
But
I felt them.
Well, that's leading to the level design, which I guess is part of the graphics and audio portion, but it still kind of plays into the gameplay.
No, it's gameplay.
Because I never felt like I was, it didn't give me the, you got to go this way. I was like, yeah, of course I got to go that way.
Yeah.
But also when like it would transition to the up and down portions of the game, it was just natural. You just knew.
It led you perfectly with this graphical assets too. Mm-hmm. Like the background, like for instance, the first level when you're on the beach, it starts in Florida and you have to make your way all the way to Manhattan.
They needed to incorporate a surfboard somehow.
I know. But you know, you get to a point where you're just going right to left, or I'm sorry, left to right. And then you have to start going downwards, you know, practically north to south.
But that boardwalk leads your eye perfectly. Yeah.
And they show you the boardwalk and you're like, okay, yeah. And then you go that way. And I think that's, they were kind of flexing there, but the second game did that a lot too, but they were basing that off of the arcade game.
Mm.
And I didn't do it as much as this game did. This game definitely goes a lot different directions, literally.
Because I mean, this immediately harkening back to one of the core memories of my growing up with Super Nintendo is that Turtles in Time game.
Yeah.
Immediately picking it up, I was just like, oh, I know what to do. Like, it was so natural.
Not to derail anything, but I just want to give major props to the soundtrack to Turtles in Time, because it is so good on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it is.
It was in there on my top, at least I think 16 SNES soundtracks. Turtles Time was there. It was such a banger, dude.
This, we'll talk more about that on the next section.
You mean graphics and audio?
Yeah, because I have beef with this game about graphics and audio, specifically in the audio department.
And I have some beef with the graphics. So,
but
we can get into it, man.
Well, no. I wanted to talk more about the controls.
Okay,
because for the most part they're tight, except for that special move, which is so important, especially for the boss fights, that it is way too finicky. And
also for rationing your life, because if you use the, so what Mr. Miller's saying is like, you hit both A and B together and you should be able to start your special attack.
If you're Leonardo, you do a whirlwind maneuver. If you're Raphael, you shoot across the screen.
Yeah, you kind of spin, right?
Yeah, yeah. You do a donkey kick kind of thing with Mikey.
Yeah.
And then you do an overhead flip with Donatello.
Yeah.
And those are basically your like boss killing moves.
Yeah, they're really powerful. Or if you're just
surrounded by things, it's your get out of jail free card.
Yeah. But not for free.
But I mean, it costs one bar of health.
Yeah, I never liked that
per spin. Never... But it is a one hit KO on all little mobs.
Absolutely, and it does a significant amount of damage.
A lot of damage to
the bosses. But I never liked that. I've always hated that. I liked when later on beat 'em ups did the thing where you have to power up and you get to use it.
Yeah,
I hated the idea that you have to like risk. You have to risk your own life to like do an attack. But
that's also the problem that I had with this game, is the lack of power-ups in,
yeah,
because like in all of the other Turtles games that I've ever played, like even modern iterations, the pizza boxes
are everywhere.
They're way more common.
We saw one
One per level. That's not until after level three.
Okay, there you go. You're right. Yeah, the first two levels don't have any of them.
That's the rental gate, is you have to get to the bridge level.
So what we're saying pretty much, or what I'm going to add to that, is that this is the hardest one. This game is really difficult. Like, if you compare this, and you haven't played the second one is very beatable solo. Yeah. This game is impossible to beat by yourself.
It's very, very hard.
You got to dedicate some. I mean, I'm sure people have done it. Obviously, the speedrunners.
You really need a friend.
Yeah. Well, this game is meant to be played co-op 100%, but almost required because it is so hard. It is ridiculously hard. And I didn't appreciate that.
I also didn't appreciate because there were moments where it's cool that it brought your friend back.
Yeah.
I did not like having a life stolen from me mid combat.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's just like, oh no, I can't, like, I can't spare that to have you come back, you know, like in the middle of a boss fight. You remember that one time? I think it was the third boss.
Was it the bridge?
It was the bridge.
Okay.
Where it was just like, all of a sudden you came back and then I died.
Yeah. I didn't know what happened.
And I was like, oh no, I had this guy.
I wasn't even touching the controller.
No, it just did it. And I
couldn't figure out
why. I was like, no, that's real bad.
Yeah, because I wasn't prepared and you knew what to do.
Because I was ready to just get in. I was like, I'm planning on dying.
Yeah.
And because I was so close to getting another life.
I think I beat him though.
You did beat him.
Yeah.
And then I came back on the next level.
Yeah.
But I was planning on dying, having an extra, and then having that life.
And then I would just come back in the next level.
And then you would come back in the next level, and then I wouldn't have lost a life. I
was confused. It almost seemed like a digression from the second game. The second game was very tight.
It's like, I don't mind giving you a life.
Right.
Don't take it from me, though.
That was weird. And I also thought, because we played co-op, and we restarted the game, I think, twice. Maybe...
Yeah, well, because
we're going to talk about
the notorious situation.
Me messing up. Yeah. But, you know, we put some hours into this cooperatively, and I still couldn't understand how the life thing worked when one of the players ran out of lives.
I never understood
it.
It just
seemed random.
It also decides to just stop giving you extra lives, because it's supposed to be every 50,000 points.
I thought that too, but then
once we hit 150k,
yeah,
it just stopped giving
you free lives.
And so we're like, so you get three. That's
also
it.
You barely get pizzas to refill your life.
Yeah,
I saw three the entire game, and we were near the end. We were like a couple levels. Yeah, away.
I think we had
it.
Two levels because we had just beaten Shredder.
Yeah,
and then
you beat Shredder. I'm like, did we just beat the game? Nope.
Keep going.
And we both were like, oh no.
Yeah, we have no health, no lives.
We don't know what we're going to be up against. We just know it's going to be hard.
Yep.
Because the bosses are hard, dude. Like,
oh, Shredder was a...
Oh yeah, Shredder was rough. But I mean, I had a problem with all the bosses. You figured things out and helped me. But, you know, I try to figure out the way, like, to... You got to kind of cheese them.
I mean, Rocksteady...
it's not a good gameplay mechanic.
No, Bebop. Bebop is really the first where you have to cheese him.
Right.
Because he's got this... Spinning flail on the top of his head.
Yeah, it's like a mace.
Yeah,
that extends.
But he can only attack forward. So if you can get behind him, it's great.
Yeah, but you also get hit from nothing, no animation, and you fly across the screen. I hated that.
But then you have to use his truck, which is sitting there.
Yeah,
and the truck blocks him.
It's F4 350.
Yeah, and put
F4 350. Ford. Fuck that joke up.
It's really a good utilization for your bass fishing.
Oh no, it's not. No, that's the worst segue. That's not even... Nope.
Hey, you missed it last. I was just trying to throw one in for you.
I still have an ace up my sleeve.
But you use that truck and it blocks him, and it's kind of like the Zelda 2...
Hookshot?
The trick for the final boss in Zelda 2.
Oh.
Where you just stand on the block and you duck, and...
I've never played Zelda 2.
Okay, so well...
Well, no, that's not true. I never played more than like 10 minutes of it at a time.
When you have to fight Shadow Link...
I hated that game.
When you have to fight Shadow Link, the easiest way to cheese him is to go to the far left side of the arena.
Okay.
You jump up, there's a block you can jump on top of, and then you crouch, and then you can just stab him in the head, and he can't hit you.
Well, if you made it that far, you deserve that.
And that's basically how you beat Bebop, is the same thing. Is you stand up on top and you attack, and your attacks will hit him and he can't hit you.
I think we did that, didn't we?
That's exactly what we did. Yeah. I just stood up there and just spin moved.
And I couldn't get past him on my own. And you were like, oh, let me show you.
Yeah. Like, don't worry, I got this.
And then we went to the rest. Oh, yeah. The game is it's interesting to me because it sucks you haven't played the second one, because I feel like the comparison between them is really important. And no harp on you. I can't do anything about your childhood, but the second game is,
I didn't have a Nintendo. I had a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo I played.
Our age difference is why.
Well, yeah. No, my parents just never bought one.
Yeah.
I played it at like my cousin's house.
Oh, the friend's houses.
Like,
yeah.
Or like friends of my parents who had them. Cause you know, they'd have their military parties and, mm-hmm. the kids are just like, well, you just figure out what you should do. And like, some of them didn't have kids and they're just like, well, I got a Nintendo in the front. And so I'd go do that.
Kind of how it was. I remember going to my dad taking me to his band practices because he was in a metal band. And I would just go to wherever. He would just be like, oh yeah, well, I just meet some kid for the first time. He's like, I got a Nintendo. I'm like, cool. We just go there and just play that.
Yeah.
Whatever he had, we just played it.
Yeah.
And, so I get that. That was like a really cool part of the 80s and 90s was like the whole, like, you're forced into couch co-op and you got along no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't even have to go into like, hey, what's going on? What are you into?
Bonds are forged in the fires of combat. Yes.
A lot of Double Dragon in my past. I noticed that. But yeah, so man, that's a lot on gameplay.
Well,
any more to add?
Nah, let's just jump into graphics and audio.
Okay, so this is a 1992 NES game. The last NES game I think published in North America was around 95, which is at that point.
That's so late.
But those any games released then are those games that are worth thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
now. So well, you got to consider that.
They I mean, honestly, this one looks good.
It looks great. For NES, it's definitely up there. It's one of the best looking games. I was
very surprised.
And they made a lot happen, even though there's a lot. So the thing about the NES, it had a problem with how many sprites you can have on screen. Causes flicker.
That second level in particular.
Oh, because the second level, you're on surfboards, on the ocean.
And then like once the Foot Clan start jumping out in their synchronized swimming formations, and you're like, it is slow-mo time.
But it was that's impressive, though. They were able to put a lot of enemies on the screen at the expense of slowdown.
I think it was like
and flicker.
12 sprites.
It was a lot. I mean, and that's impressive. I think the game looks great. I think the music in the beginning was good because it was the Ninja Turtles theme.
And then it keeps going.
And then it just doesn't stop.
And going. And
it just continues.
And I thought I was insane until I came over here. And I was like, maybe my copy's just busted.
No, we played it on that old TV.
Yeah,
on the NES. Like,
are we really listening
and it just to keeps
the
going.
Same song over and over again, except for boss fights?
Yeah, but boss fights.
Then it's just like, diddly, 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 diddly.
Not any better.
No.
Yeah, it's annoying. But those are really my only harps I have as far as like graphics and audio. Audio, like you said, yeah, it's very repetitive. Yeah,
I do like the, you know, the like the punching sounds.
Yeah, that's all Konami sound effects.
But you know? those sound effects, I mean, it's Konami.
Well, they use a lot of Contra sound effects too.
Yeah,
that's
crunchy kind of
second, third-ish level. Because I don't know what really is the third level, because you start on the ocean, but is it when you get to that weird warship? Is that
part
steel?
Two? Of that's what it level felt like. One.
Yeah.
It just gives you a continue because they don't want to force you to surf all the way to that ship again.
Which I'm surprised because the game's already insanely hard. But
because there's not a boss in the surfing portion. It's just
kind of. There's like a little bit of those two foot soldiers that are on those hovercraft things. They're like a little boss. And they never come up again in the game.
They take one special move and then they die.
I know, they're done. Level 2B. Used a lot of Contra sound effects.
Oh, with the turrets.
Yeah, because it was kind of Contra-y too. Mm-hmm. Man, I did not like that level. I didn't like, and I don't understand the point of being able to like your turtle like falling off the side and then being able to jump back up.
I
feel like it was just for aesthetics.
There were moments where I actually used it to save my ass.
Oh, I didn't ever had a chance to because I was just trying to fly through that level as fast as I could. But I mean, it looks pretty. It's funny. It's cool. It has that. Because
there were moments where you get surrounded and you could just drop down and then shimmy over to the side and pull yourself back up and avoid hits.
Yeah, because the turrets are coming up from behind and also in the middle. But it looks good. It's weird. Something about these Ninja Turtle games the bosses are always one color. I never understood this. They're either like, they're all a lighter green or a gray or a pink. And then they, you know, they always have the flashing.
Rocksteady has multiple colors.
Did he? Okay.
And Bebop does too.
See, I don't. Well, then again, I'm basing it off. I was playing on that old TV.
Yeah.
That we had to calibrate with a flathead screwdriver.
What's his name? Basically the mutated clone of Leonardo.
Oh, from like the Secret of the Ooze.
No, not I'm not thinking of Reza
the turtle
that spin with the dual katanas,
which was also like a mid boss as well.
He's a mid boss, but he's just one color.
Yeah, I think I'm just confusing it for the second game. The second game didn't look as good as this one, but it played better. That was the trade off. This game and sounded better because they had something to base it off of, and you can kind of tell this game was built from the ground up. They did incorporate some of the graphics and audio from the prior one, but it was definitely changed massively. And I think they just tried to push the limits. It was cool the first level when little things happened that reminded me of the arcade, like when the guys on the beach signs.
Oh yeah,
and they push down the beach signs and jump out. Didn't really happen anywhere else in the game. Like you didn't have any more of the interaction of the background. You just had like a bunch of different new enemies.
There was that scene when you first get into Manhattan, when you go past all the trucks and they burst out of the truck.
Yeah.
There's that. And then there's the guys coming out of the pipes, like the robots coming out of the pipes in the sewer.
Yeah, but it wasn't as cool as it's beach one.
I guess it's not as interactive.
Yeah. Like at that point, it just seems like it's not as cool as like, oh, now the background's completely changed.
Those signs are kind of a gotcha moment too, though, because they hurt you. And
it's all beach. It's just three signs says beach.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It's funny. Yeah. It tells you where you're at, Key West. But, you know, it's a shame we didn't get to finish it. We got as far as we could.
Yeah.
But we really couldn't.
Because it was like midnight by the time we.
Not only that, but I was like, I was not ready for another run. Yeah, I know. I was so frustrated. Like, the game's hard. But it looks good. And it fits graphically in with the trilogy, I guess, because the first game looks like garbage, personally, I think. But then again, I don't like the first game.
It's different.
I'm biased. I'm not one of those people. I'm not in that camp.
I hated that first game. I mean, you get past that second level, it's
just too cryptic and weird, and it reminds me of Fester's Quest, which I also hate.
It's very Legend of Zelda.
I mean, it's not Ninja Turtles. The problem is they have all these weirdo characters that aren't even in the comics or in, the guys on fire just walk around.
That's like, true.
Who is that? And then there's like guys with chainsaws and Jason masks. And I know we're not talking about that, but I'm stating that like in comparison to where the graphics have come, the third one looks the best. Mm-hmm. Easily looks the best. But the sound, I don't know what happened. Maybe they just tried to put a lot into it.
I think they ran out of space. They only had enough cartridge space for one song.
Well, and also the second one, you kind of can just base that off of the source material.
Right.
And in this one, you kind of have to come up with stuff. So maybe they're like, just put it out there. It's going to sell.
Yeah.
Like we gave you.
And sell it did.
Yes. So, all right. Well, let's give our verdict. Mr. Miller, how do you feel about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, The Manhattan Project?
I think it is a very solid game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it gem status, though.
Okay.
Because of issues, and also I don't think it was hidden. It was game of the year.
Was not hidden
for that.
I think it was action game of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. It was game of the year for 91, 92.
It came out 92.
92. Yeah.
Well, at least in America.
But yeah, so it was, it got its accolades.
Right.
And there are some issues and it doesn't have this, like, I don't need to put a veneer on it because it is what it is. It's good.
Also, at that point, too, the Super Nintendo had been out 2 years.
Yeah, and it's...
Which means Turtles in Time, I think, came out like really close after this one.
I would believe it because, let's see, I was probably like 7 when I first played Turtles in Time. Yeah. So that would probably be, let's see...
It had 94.
91 is when the console launched. So yeah, 94 sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I don't know, actually. Let me... I'm curious. Turtles in Time, Super Nintendo.
But yeah, it's
1992.
Really? So they came out in the same year? Wild.
Wow.
It must have been end of the year.
Well, it came out on the arcade in 91. So I'm surprised that the Manhattan Project even sold that well. It's really expensive cartridge now to own.
It's very expensive.
It's now. One of those. It's one of those loose $90 currently.
Well, I understand why it sold so well is because people wanted a new Turtles.
But at the same time, we're not. We don't have the. We're kids back then. It's not like we can't be like, yeah. Oh, go buy me a Super Nintendo.
I need a new $400 console.
Yeah, no, like, that wasn't happening. So maybe this is all you could get.
Yeah,
and then I see
it's like strategy. You already have your Nintendo. What's wrong? Why do you need the new one?
Yeah, we have Turtles at home.
Yeah, Turtles at home. Turtles at
home. It's a literal terrarium with the turtles in it. Yeah.
Well, I'll put some. Some little bandanas on them, and I made them fight my hamster, and that didn't turn out so well.
Is it called terranium? No, I don't know.
Terrarium?
Terrarium. Thank you. Yeah, so I agree, except I'm a little more critical on it. I don't think the game is that good. I think the difference here is that I played the second one. And playing the second one, I had a direct comparison. This is a direct sequel to part two. And I would go back and play part two. I do go back and play part two. I don't really want to play part three again.
It's the difficulty. I'm frustrated. Gate.
Yeah, the difficulty is unnecessarily high. And Turtles in Time, which came out the same year on the Super Nintendo, isn't even half as hard as this game is. And I don't understand the difficulty spike.
See, and that one is hard, but you get power ups.
But it's fair.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's hard but fair.
Yeah,
I'm all about hard but fair.
Yep.
I'm not cool with hard. For like rental purposes, because I feel like the difficulty on here was decided for the rental market at the time. I'm just assuming that's me. Don't quote me on that, but
it has to be because they knew they were going to be putting out a better version of this game
right
that same year for a newer console.
Yeah.
And so they're probably just trying to get whatever money they could.
And the Turtles were on fire right here.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
This is prime Turtles.
And yeah, Konami owned the rights.
Second movie had just come out.
And Konami owned the rights to make the Turtles games. Yeah. They put them out on everything, dude. Yeah. They were printing money. So yeah, I think it's a thumbs down, dude. I don't recommend it. I think that it's pretty and it has its place in the history. And if you want to try it out, feel free. But I don't think it's a good game. I don't think there's enough diversity between the turtles you can pick. I think it's cool. You can select between them, but I don't feel there's much difference. I don't like the idea that there's, I just felt like I was struggling the whole time and I got lucky when I won. I didn't feel like I was getting better at the game. And it's got technical issues. It's got audio repetitiveness. And I don't think I could ever beat this game. Not because it's not one of those hard games where I'm like, I'm going to get it. It's a game where I'm like,
I agree with you. I don't want to.
Yeah. We got far. We had a blast. Don't get us wrong. We had a great time. We had a
really fun time.
But if that's the only way you're going to enjoy this game is hanging out with your homie on the same couch playing this on an old TV with the original Nintendo. There's not very many people that can do that right now.
And so we were probably the only people in the state that were doing something like
that.
We
kept saying that. Yeah. We're like, we're probably the only people doing this right now in this whole state. But yeah, for that reason, I mean, I can't recommend it. And I don't think it's good, but the cover art's dope. And it's a Turtles game.
And you'll never see the Triceratops.
The Triceratops got to be in it.
You got to play Turtles in Time. That's where the Triceratops shows up.
Maybe that there was just a precursor or
I think
foreshadowing.
I think the problem is they based it off of a comic book arc that has that character
in
it. And then like the developers were like, oops, and
forgot
to put him in there because they just cut and paste all the old villains they had from the last game.
Right. Yeah. And kind of though, they left out a lot of them. The game before it, man, it's just so much better. And I might be alone there. I know some people love this game, but It's exclusive to the NES.
Yeah.
So it didn't come out anywhere else. You had to have done better than this, right? Like there's no excuse. This game to be worse than the second one.
I legitimately think it was the
limitations.
No, I think they knew what was coming.
Cause Konami's also working on the Super Nintendo one it's like, and the arcade.
You're the B team working on
definitely felt T3 B team on this
because now we have Super Nintendo tech and we're going to be putting out a Turtles game in the same year.
You said it best. That's exactly, I think, what happened.
So they were just like, push it out, man.
But you know what? They a valiant effort. It's still part
I enjoyed it. It was.
Yeah. I don't want to touch it again.
But
that breaks my heart.
I also think it might be. It was the couch co-op that did it for me.
Yeah, that was fun.
sitting at home, I was like, this is aight.
There's no way I was making it as far as we did by myself.
But
no
as way. Soon as you were like, I'm booting it up, I'm like, I'm there, man. I know. Let's go.
It was fun. It was great, man. I had a good time. We were like, we should just do this more.
We should.
Kind of considering wanting to, like, I don't know if we have the bandwidth for this, but like, it'd be great to have some streams like that and put them in the Patreon.
I mean, we should. I'll bring my laptop over next time and we'll at least set up like a cam of just us.
Yeah.
And then we can try and capture it somehow.
I can do that. That's no problem.
But yeah, then we can Twitch stream it.
And that'd be great. If my bandwidth, my literal internet bandwidth allows. So, okay. So this week we're doing something different in regards to the game we're choosing. So I'm going to be guest starring on the Main Quest podcast this week, discussing a certain ninja game on the Genesis. So my week will be really busy with me focusing on that. So instead of us randomly picking a game this week, and I know we've never done this before, but you know, I'm really excited to be on to guest spot on Keith's show. I'm going to give Mr. Miller a game this week, and it's going to be a game. It's going to be one of my favorite games, and I want his opinion on it. And I think this will be great. So this week, and I'm not saying that moving forward, we're going to still draw and do our random stuff, but given the circumstances of the guest spot and everything, this week I'm giving Mr. Miller an RPG.
Okay.
On the PS1.
Okay.
Called Suikoden.
Suikoden.
My favorite RPG. Well, it's up there with Earthbound, but it's hard to figure out which one I like more. This week, Mr. Miller, you're going to be playing Suikoden.
Okay.
Well, this is easy. As I called pre-Volpe, Suikoden.
Suikoden, as everyone else I know has called Suikoden, it. Yeah.
On the PlayStation 1. And next week, I want to hear your opinion on it because it'll be a good episode no matter what, because I have a lot to say about that game. And I hope you enjoy it.
I mean, this actually works because I haven't played it yet. So
yeah, I know. I remember we talked about
that. My roommate's played it, which makes it easy because he's got it already.
So. He beat it, right?
Oh, he's beat all of them. Yeah.
All of them. Oof. Okay. So there we go. Next week, Suikoden on PS1. Thank you for listening to us, getting this far in the podcast. We appreciate all our patrons. You guys are awesome.
Episode 22.
We did it. I'm going to do a live ranking on episode 25. And this week, we're going to have a really cool bonus episode on our Patreon. If you care to join, it's $2 to get the extra episodes. And if you do $5, not only do you get the extra bonus episodes on our Patreon, but you get to choose a game in a separate pool that we pull from the end of the month. So we will see you next week. Or Suikoden on the PS1.
Suikoden.
Suikoden. We love you. We'll see you.
Cut to B.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.